their heart that is waiting longing for parting day. Hear the glad message we bring you. Jesus is passing this way.
Lord, bless each one. I'm still laughing from Thursday night because our Tim said that hater's like a Lancaster bomber. The noise it makes. And every time I'm thinking about it, that goes, that's what I'm thinking about. Lancaster bomber. Praise God, but she's a bit noisy, but then if she's not on, it's too cold, isn't it? But I trust you, he's a warm enough, he's all warm enough. Praise the Lord. It's not much of a response, so maybe some people's not warm enough. You know, when you're young, you don't worry about the heat, but see, when you get older, you need a couple of logs in the fire, don't you? It takes the heat, you enjoy the heat. I like the heat. Praise God. But the Lord bless you all and give everyone a warm welcome under service this morning. In the name of the Lord, and there's a few people missing this morning. Brother Terry's still away. It's a wonderful experience. You see it all with the church ages, all the different places, and it's really quite an experience to have that opportunity to go and pray the Lord to bless him. And let's just bow our heads. Praise God. You have a need this morning, just lift your hand to the Lord. And there's a few people sick this morning as well. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this opportunity to come into your house and into your presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, there's nothing in our hand we bring, but simply to the cross we cling. We plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb of God over our lives afresh. And Lord, if we've sinned in any way, tongue, thought, word, or deed, forgive us, cleanse us, and sanctify us, we pray. Lord, we've failed you many times, but you have never failed us. You're certainly not a disappointment. We love you this morning because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. Lord, I pray you'll touch everyone in this house for the hands that's raised. Meet every need, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Provide, prosper, and heal in Jesus' precious name. Pray for those that are sick this morning that you'll minister to them and touch them. In Jesus' precious name, I pray, Lord, for the backslidden. Speak to their hearts, have mercy upon them, have grace upon them, and draw them back to yourself. Pray again for Sister Linda and the wee one. You'll bless them, bless all the family. Give them your strength, your grace. Bless Samuel and the whole family in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, think of all the widows in our fellowship this morning. I pray you'll give them your grace, your strength as we come to this time of the year. Just help them, Lord, I pray, and have your way. Now, Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me, and I thank you that you will. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. I want to turn to the book of Samuel, and I probably won't get through all of this. I mentioned a few weeks ago that I was going to go to chapter 18, and then I know I preached a little bit from 18 on Thursday night, but I had some notes down on this a long time back, but I didn't want to jump over the chapters too quick, so I kept coming on the chapters, but we're now at chapter 18. Let's read from verse 14, and my title this morning is Saul the Enemy. That's my title. And I want to bring out of this morning, if I can, obviously the Lord, but I want to bring out of this how that we can have people in our own families that's the enemy to Christ. And I'm looking at David as a type of Christ. And he came in three sons' names: Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. And sometimes here when I'm looking at David, I'm thinking of the Lord. And we can have enemies of the gospel in our own families, yet we can be serving the Lord. And I want to look at Saul, and I'm not saying Saul's lost, and I'm not saying any of them things. If it sounds like that, that's not what I'm meaning. I'm just bringing a point over. So I want you to get that. I don't know where Saul was anointed of the Lord, gifted of the Lord. And you're going to see again this morning as well, even though he done all these things, the Spirit of God comes on him again. And even though he done all these things. So you see, you can have people that's doing the right, you can have people that's out of the will of God, that's doing wrong, and yet of all God can let a Spirit come on them. Now I know that's strange, but that's the Bible. And that's just how it is. And I don't understand it all. I'm not even going to try to let on or do. But the Lord knows his word. And let's read from 1 Samuel 18, verse 14 down. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judea loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, "Behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, who am I, and what is my life for my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?" Now pause for a moment. Remember, David's already been anointed king. Then remember that David is ruddy, and he's alive, and he's defeated Goliath. Now here we're in chapter 18. So in scripture, you can move forward lots of years. I want you to get that. He's no longer a boy here, in my opinion, because he's going to get married. And I don't know how old he was, really, when he killed Goliath, but he was a young fella anyhow. He was definitely young. So you see how, and also I showed you when Samuel went to anoint David as king, there was a bit of secretive about it, wasn't there? With Saul. And here, he's still referring to Saul as king. But David's been anointed king. And you can say, maybe that's before or after, but anyhow, I'm just bringing it out. Praise God. Verse 18, and David said unto Saul, who am I, and what is my life for my father's family, that I should be son-in-law to the king? Verse 19, but it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel the Meholahite to wife. So he told him a lie. He lied to him. This is the man the Lord's anointed. Saul was at one time. But he lied to him. Verse 20. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. Loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, Thou shalt this day be my son-in-law, and the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servant, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delighted in thee, and all the servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servant spake those words in the ears of David. And David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law? Seemeth that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed. And the servants of Saul told him, saying, in this manner spake David. And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law. And the days were not expired, wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew the Philistines 200 men. Remember also, let me pause here and say this, David had mighty men with him. And the Bible calls them mighty men that was with David. They were mighty men. And it's always good to have some people with you. That's mighty men and women of prayer, isn't it? It's always some help, isn't it? Great. Praise God. And many went with them. Praise God. And the wind got these foreskins, and they gave them the full tale to the king, that it might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. So praise God, he told him he'd given the first daughter, and he never gave him till her. He lied to him. Then he thought he would be smart and give it to Michal, but what he didn't realize, she loved him. And she was never going to do David no harm. She was going to do him good. And the old Saul was scheming to get David killed. And he says you can have him with no dowry, which doesn't happen. But he thought he was smart. And he sent him out against these Philistines thinking, you know, this will be the end of him. It'll be all over. But he never realized David had mighty men with him. And how he forgot the mighty man David was his own self. You see, Saul began in the spirit and he ended in the flesh. And I tell you, that's so true. We can do that in preaching. You can get into the spirit preaching a sermon and you can end in the flesh. And how many times does preachers keep going? It's like I talk about baking the cake. When the cake's baked, get it out of the oven or it's burnt. And then it's burnt, sure it's no use. And that's so true. And here Saul began in the spirit, but he ended in the flesh. And like every other case of backsliding has had a source. And where did it start? In chapter 15, verse 11 to 26, we saw it. We saw it for Saul's backsliding started. And backsliding started when he turned from the revealed will of God. He was told to kill all, but he didn't do that. He killed what suited him, and he kept what suited him. Then when the prophet Samuel came to him, he made an excuse of what he killed and what he kept. And Samuel wasn't stupid. He had a pair of ears, and he could hear it. And if Samuel could hear it, God could see it, and God could hear it. So this is how his backsliding started. One step in the wrong direction, and the whole thing can go wrong. Amen. And Saul now becomes the open enemy of David. Here we see it. The Lord's anointed. He's against him. He's against David. He's against David. He hates David. He wants to kill David. Now I have it counted, and I don't know if anyone has counted the many times that Saul tried to kill David, but it was a lot of times. He sets traps for him. He does all sorts of things for him. And later on you'll see he even tried to spear him to the wall with a javelin. He hated him that much. Now it's not hard to understand. A man that was anointed at one point of the Lord is now against another man that's anointed of the Lord. How can that happen? But it happened. And God's no longer, you see, but when you go right back to this, the real heart of this, the people choose Saul, but God chose David. When did they get that? God permitted them to have a king, because he said they've rejected me. But God chose David. Amen? So you see, man's choosing is never God's choosing. And God can permit things. You know, William Branham, when he went over there in Africa, and them men influenced him, and they kept influencing him, and they kept influencing him, and they got him to go somewhere, but the Lord told him not to go. And he went with them because they kept influencing him. And he threw a stone up, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, we're out of the will of God." And people were getting healed, and people were getting saved, but hailstones was coming on the mountains. And all them men said, "But this is wonderful. We must be in the will of God. Look what's happening." But William Branham knew they were out of God's will. But they didn't know it, because they weren't him. He was the Lord's anointed. And here's the same case we're seeing right down through this. Now I want to bring this right down to our families and things like that. And I've put a head here, sinner against his own family. And many of us can have someone in our family that's not saved and they don't want to be saved. And they're against us and they don't want to be for us. And they let you know it too. And we pray for them and we love them and we do all we can for them, but they might not come. We want to God they would come. But they're enemies of God. And you see this evil conduct. Here, Michael, this is Saul's daughter, his own daughter who loved David, and high prices and schemes for the union in this marriage. And verse 20 and 21, "And Michael, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I'll give him her that she may be a snare on him." He never gave him this woman to bless him and please him. He gave him this woman to be a snare. Amen. I tell you, it's not so dirty trick, isn't it? And you think how often the tender heart of Jonathan, and we looked at Jonathan on Thursday night, how the tender heart of Jonathan loved David at his father's heartless, cowardly acts of behavior against David, yet Jonathan loved David. And Saul tried to plot and tell Jonathan to do things as well, but Jonathan wouldn't do it. But Jonathan loved David. And when any father takes up an attitude of opposition against the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed David, he's wrong. And you know, you could have a young person that comes to the Lord. And I know of one young sister, and I'll mention no names. And you come to the Lord and her father's totally against it. Totally against it. And he doesn't want her to serve the Lord, and he doesn't want the rest of the house to serve the Lord. And he says all sorts of things against it. And it's a terrible thing when a young person, God can pick one out of a whole family and save them. I know a young man, he's a Roman Catholic, and the Lord saved him. And he was the only one in the whole family, the Lord saved him. And the old priest came up to him with a whip. Come up to the house with a whip to give him a hiding and bring him back to the chapel. And he chased the priest, praise God. And he told the priest, "I have only one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. I don't need you." And he told him he needed to get saved. But thank God in that man's situation, he met a young godly woman. And they had all night praying for the family. God saved his dad and saved other members of the family eventually.
The old priest wasn't long till he was up. And I tell you, there's a lot of people that has been turned aside by family members. And you're too young to serve the Lord. You need to go out and enjoy yourself and all this nonsense. And let them know that they're dead as they live on the road to hell. And I tell you here, godliness is profitable for this life. And you know it's profitable for the life to come. And the love of Christ is meant to sweeten a home and bless a home and help a home. And the love of Christ doesn't make a home worse. The love of Christ makes a home better. And really, Saul should have been rejoicing that a young man has gifted, has anointed, has blessed, and has chosen as David, but he couldn't do it, for he was jealous. And he was the enemy. Here's another thing. A sinner against the testimony of the Holy Spirit. How many times have people spoken against the Holy Ghost? You realize that Jesus says, all manner of sin will be forgiven except a word spoken against the Holy Ghost. And when someone calls a work that the Holy Spirit does the devil, I tell you, that's a dangerous work. It's a dangerous work. And here, if you look again at chapter 19, and I want you to see this scene at Nioh. And it must have been an exciting scene. And this is a scene, and it's chapter 19. And this is a scene for Saul sends after David as men, and the Spirit of God come on them, because Samuel's there, and the prophets are there, and the Spirit of God's moving, and the Spirit of God enthuses the man that goes. And it doesn't enthuse them one time, it moves on them three times. Saul himself goes, and it falls on him. I tell you, that's something, isn't it? Even in all what he's doing, and the Spirit of God arranges it. Let me read you it from verse 19 of Samuel 19. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David at his Nioh in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to David, and when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent out messengers, and they prophesied likewise a second time. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also the third time. Then went he also to Ramoth, and it came to a great well that is in Shechu, and he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they are at Noaiath and Ramoth. And he went thither to Nioah and Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Nioah of Ramah. So even though he was out of the will of God, and even though he was doing all these things, God's Spirit still came on. And that's something. I think it's really something. Maybe you don't. But I do. That God's Spirit still came on him. But he rode on with a head down. That's what he was doing. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets? Saul hears it, David. David's there, and Saul sends the messengers to apprehend him. But as soon as he come within the atmosphere of the prophetic realm, and have called them a prophetic band under a prophetic anointing of the Holy Ghost, they prophesy. Doesn't Paul say you all may learn to prophesy? Hallelujah. Now, even though they prophesied, they weren't prophets, but they were numbered with them. But Samuel's a real prophet. But these are numbered with prophets, but they're not as prophet like Samuel. But Samuel's different than these prophets. And there's prophesying, and there's prophets, and there's two different things. What do you get that? Because when you read about Samuel, it says not one word of Samuel fell to the ground. And you see, Samuel was ordained to be a prophet before ever he was born. And here these men here come under the inspiration. And it's real inspiration. And it's real prophecy. It's real. It's not fake. It's real. The spirit of prophecy comes on them. You remember if somebody come to your meeting, and I could tell you it's about one of our meetings years ago. There was a man sent to our meetings a long time ago when we weren't long started. And the people sent him and they told him what he was to preach to us. They told him we were a wee bit off in the head and stuff. And we were a cult and all this stuff. And they explained to him all what he was to preach when he got amongst us. And when he come to our meeting, he couldn't do it. It was in the schoolhouse years ago. He couldn't do it. God never let him do it. And he prophesied in the meeting for the good. And there's many times, you can read that in the Bible, because you know that prophet that was sent out to curse Israel, and he went to curse them and he blessed them. Balaam was his name. You see, there's a thing called the providence of God. I'm going to bring it out this morning. I might have time. But God has a set plan. We don't know it. Many times we're doing it and we don't even know it, but God's in control. Amen. And God's in control of your life and God's in control of my life. And if we acknowledge him and commit our ways to him, he will direct us. Ezekiel 11:23 says, you see, in Saul, you know, the Holy Spirit was lingering on him, wasn't it? The Spirit of God was definitely still moving on him, even though he'd done all these things. And in Ezekiel 11:23 says, and the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. God's Spirit can come in certain places and move mightily. Do you realize that? God can do that. And God here again moves in Saul. Wouldn't you think to yourself that after God done this with Saul and moved him and he's among the prophets, something would change in him? But it didn't do it. Even though the Spirit came on him, nothing changed in here in his heart. He didn't change his mind about David. He still had the jealousy and the bitterness and all the things still were in him. And how God could be grieved. Now here's another thing. I've marked down several things that I want to mention this morning, and this will be in Samuel 22:17-18, a sinner against the servants of God. Saul commanded the priests of the Lord to be slain because their hands is also with David. So Saul not only wanted David slain, but Saul now wants the servants slain. Because they're in with David, he thinks. They're helping David to get them killed as well. 1 Samuel 22:17-18. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priests of the Lord. Because their hands also is with David, and because they know when he fled and did not show it to me, but the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And I tell you, this was a terrible thing to happen, because these were God's priests, and these garments, that I could preach a sermon on the very garments, how they speak out about the Lord. The ephod and the white garments and everything speaks the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But they had no shame in doing it. And I tell you, you can have someone that's not saved, sinners that are against God and sinners that are against God's people, and they have no shame in spreading lies about you and rumors about you and tales about you, and they will put you into the gutter as quick as they can, and they'll think nothing of it. And some so-called Christians will do it as well. And the big thing about it is sometimes Christians believe it. They drink it all in and they think it's true. I remember years ago when somebody told the story, I was at a band parade drunk. And I didn't go to band parades really. And I definitely wasn't drunk. But they told it and other people believed it. And I tell you, we need to be careful how we speak about our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you know, a prophet of God said, if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say nothing. There's no point coming with a bouquet of flowers when they're in the grave. You need to bring the bouquet of flowers while they're living. But don't need knives in the back. We need swords in their hands. And shields. And I tell you here, so many sinners can do it. Tell stories about you. Did you hear about brother so-and-so? The Bible says we're not to receive an accusation against a brother. Except the mark of two or three witnesses. But sometimes they're so quick. Did you hear about brother or sister so-and-so? I don't even know why I'm preaching it this morning, but I'm feeling led to preach it, and I'm going to preach it. Amen. It's as simple as that. Amen. That's how it is. And I'm bringing this out of it, Saul. And I tell you, Saul's in this Bible for us, for our lesson, and for our learning. I believe that. And David's God's chosen man. And Saul's against God's chosen man. And how many today in denominations, there's places today, they're against the truth. I'm not talking about them all. There's good people, there's good preachers in good places. But there's places this morning, and they tell you, well, don't go down there, I tell you what. They've more or less horns growing out of their heads of some of us down here. Swinging the lights and stuff. Brother, we do all sorts apparently. But that's the devil. That's the devil, isn't it? And it can start with a sinner and end up Christians telling it. And I tell you, when a sinner that's not saved or regenerated comes to you with a story about some of God's people and you repeat it, I think that's a bad thing. Our relationship to Christ determines our attitude towards our fellow man, you know. I tell you, I love the spirit that's on David. David's a great spirit on him, hasn't he? May God give us the spirit here, what David's on him. Even when he tries to kill him and tries to do all these things, he still humbles himself and he submits himself. Because David's attacked for Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was rejected with his own brethren. They spat in his face, they plucked his beard, they smote him in the face. He came on his own and his own received him not, till as many as received him to them give him power to become the sons of God. You see, he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of mine eye. You know, the Lord said that is true of us, but that's of Israel as well. You know that Israel was flashed of the apple of the Lord's eye. And people can look at the maps and people can look at warfare and they can look at all these things and they think, well, wipe we Israel out here just like that. But you see, they're the apple of God's eye. God will preserve them. And you're the apple of the Lord's eye, and the Lord will preserve you. I want you to know that this morning. The Lord loves you, and the Lord will preserve you. And even though there's tongues wagging against you, the Lord will still preserve you. The Lord loves you, brother. The Lord loves you, sister. And you have a David this morning in the camp. You have a David in the camp. Hallelujah. The priestly house of Ahimelech are the first to suffer martyrdom for the cause of David. And they put the blood of they split their blood, they shed their blood. And I tell you, this was a bad thing. And you know, when this happens, how can things prosper? How can things prosper when this happens? Here's another thing. A sinner against the best interests of a nation. And I tell you, there's a lot of sinners leading in government. There's a lot of sinners leading in politics. And they're against the best interest of a nation. And here we see it in the book of Samuel. It's worthy of special note that while Saul was pursuing after David, the Philistines invaded the land. He's so busy. He's a king. He's meant to be the man. Head and shoulders above the rest, and he's so busy chasing after David, the Lord's servant, the Lord's anointed, that the Philistines is broken. They're his enemies, but he's blinded and he can't see it. And we need to be careful that we don't fight each other. We must have a fight in the devil. And so many Christians cut the tar out of our. When it's not each other they're fighting, it's the devil they're fighting. We need to unite as one. And I don't mean that just in this fellowship. I mean that universally. All over. It needs to be a uniting. The The Bible says in the book of Acts, they're of one mind and they're of one accord. The Spirit of God moved mightily. God wants unity. Unity. But here there was no unity. Here there was no unity. This man that was anointed, this man that was used of God, is now so busy fighting against the true anointed of the Lord that the enemies have got in. Got in. Let me read you 1 Samuel 23, 27 to 28. Praise God. But there came a messenger unto Saul saying, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned for pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called the place Selah Hamakelakoth. And I might not pronounce that right, but that's the best I can do. But he come back. It's a big word, isn't it? For a fellow that went, never went to school or didn't do too bad, I'll give myself 8 out of 10. Never hardly went to school for. I found a letter the other day my mum found in the roof space, and I'd missed 3 months in the 1 year. Don't tell anybody. It's not terrible. And then my boy's given after him if they miss a day. Praise God. May the Lord help us. You see, while he was resisting and opposing the revealed purpose of God, the enemy came in like a flood. While he was off doing what he shouldn't have been doing, the opposite to what he was should have been doing. I tell you, God wants us to be doing the right thing. We need to be winning souls for the Lord. Amen? And if a brother's winning souls, and if he doesn't agree with every wee line that you agree with, don't condemn him. Pray for him. He's still in the Lord's work. Don't you believe that this morning? I'll tell you, God's got good people everywhere. There's eagles everywhere. Thank God for the eagles. You see, the will of the Lord was to bless the nation of Israel through David, whom he had chosen to despise and dishonor him, was to obstruct the divinely appointed channel and the blessing and rob the people of God of God's grace, because this was the way that God had chosen to bless the people of Israel through David. And otherwise now, God has sent his son to bless us. He sent his only begotten son to bless us. That's God's way. God is no other way. That is God's only way. That is God's chosen way. Nationally and individually, Jesus Christ has come to bless us and to bless the nations. And the Bible says, if my people will humble themselves and fast and pray, they hear from heaven. And a nation that recognizes God and a nation that puts the word of God to the forefront, God will bless that nation. But a nation that despises the Bible and despises the truth, God will be against that nation. Great Britain, you know, she was once called Great Britain. Once was called Great Britain. Sad today, isn't it? You see, the indifference to Christ and the cause will always be a menace and a hindrance to the nation's highest good. And how many politicians and men in government have we today that'll stand up? We had such a cry about so many different things over the years, but what about those that'll stand up and cry out for the unborn baby that they're murdering? And all these things, and here's another thing now, here's the new thing, here's the latest thing. They're bringing in an injection now. You can end your life. You can end your life now. If you're not well and you want to end it, you can end it. But who gives the decision to end it? These are the things they're bringing in. God can't bless that. God can't bless that. Men are slow to acknowledge us, but God is not mocked. And our pride and self-will we may despise and set aside the Lord's anointed, but God knows that he's no other channels on which to bless his people. God has men that he's anointed. God has a purpose, a plan. God's a structure. He's a fivefold ministry that he set out to bless his church, to keep his church. 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, 35 of the church. There's different gifts of administration and application, and there's helps and there's governments and there's all them things, and the Lord set them in the church. And we need them in the church. 1 Timothy 2:5 says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Here's another thing. A sinner against his own conscience. I know all about this verse. I met a man one day and I talked to him. And this man had went to church years ago, before I was really serving the Lord. And I know a big fella that took him to a Pentecostal church in Mara. It's a good wee church. There's a wee Pentecostal church in Mara. And this fella was took, and the big fella took him, I knew him. He's a real, genuine big lad. There's two brothers of them. They're two wild big men. And if you're out in the night and you fell into these two big men, and you crossed them, I can tell you what, you'd have been in trouble. There's one of them in particular was a tough boy. He used to spar with me when I worked in his pipes years ago. And he'd have took the head off you. And he was saved. And he'd have given you a wee spar. And if he put a hand on you, he near took the head on you playing with you. But the Lord saved him. And the Lord saved his brother. These two big men. And they took a man to church that I knew. They took that man to church, but that man was just playing games. Playing games to the court. Playing games to the gallery. That's all he was doing. But go forward over 30 years, and I met him. And obviously the Lord had changed me, and no longer he knew it. And he kept away from me. And he said he kept away from me. But he had no choice for that. And I talked to him about the Lord. He wanted to know, could he do this and could he do that? And I said, you know, if you could do them things, your conscience has to be sheared. You've got a conscience, and your conscience, if you go beyond conscience, how far you're going to go. But the Bible says some had their conscience sheared us with the hot iron. God's given us a conscience so that he can prick us, so that he can convict us, so that he can move us, so that we only can go so far. But when a man goes beyond conscience, and Saul here's pressing it, let's be honest about it. He's pressing it to try and kill David. He's pressing it to spear him against the wall. Surely he's gone beyond conscience. How many sinners go beyond conscience? How many gospel sermons will they hear? How many meetings will they go to? How many messengers will they hear? But as Brother Yule said years ago, they'll come away and they'll do something to kill off the conviction in the conscience. Didn't he say, Paul, I'll call on you at some more convenient season. Was it Agrippa? I'll call on you at some more convenient season. But we don't hear him calling at a more convenient season. People say, I'll maybe get saved at the next missions. At the next meetings, but today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. When David's shown, you see, this kindness of God. You see, this man's murder in his heart. Saul's a murderer in his heart. Now God used Saul to kill the enemy, but God did not call Saul to kill his servant. That was the devil. And you see, we know it's the devil because the Bible says that God allowed another spirit to come on him. An evil spirit. And you see, we can take this as a picture and we can take this as a lesson. If we're moved to do things that we shouldn't do as Christians, don't say it's the Holy Spirit. It's another spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead us to do holy things. And an unclean spirit will lead us to do unclean things. There's lamb spirits, there's unclean spirits, there's all types of spirits, but there's only one Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will make you to live holy. Saul here is influenced by another spirit. You see, Saul wept and said, thou art more righteous than I. That's what he said to David. Psalm 1 Samuel 24:16-17 came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He knew. I believe, you see, when God let the Spirit come on him, I don't believe there's much he could do about it. That's what I believe. You ever talk to somebody that needs deliverance and they do things and they can't stop doing it? because they need deliverance. And as soon as the Holy Ghost delivered them, they're free. But then they have to watch. Because the Bible says when the house is garnished and swept, you need to fill it with the good stuff, the Holy Ghost, the Word of God. But if it's not filled, something else will come in, worse than before. And many start out right, then they go back. And they become twofold, the child of hell, more than to begin with. And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Verse 17, he said to David, art thou more righteous than I? For thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded the evil. Yet for this, the bitterness of the heart against David, he played the fool again. He still played the fool again. He was sorry. He was bitter. He didn't want to do it. He said these words, but then he plays the fool again. 1 Samuel 26:21. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Return my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly. And one of the brothers preached, I don't remember if Brother John or Brother Gary, but you know, for David went over and he took the very garment. He could have slew him, but he wouldn't do it. He was the Lord's anointed. Give me the spirit David had. Give me the spirit David had. David's a man after God's own heart. I'm going to come to communion because I don't want to take up all the time this morning. Maybe the Lord will and we'll continue on Thursday night a bit further. 1 Corinthians 11. May the Lord help each one of us. Verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, break it, said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, my blood, this do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the Lord, of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat that bread and drink that cup of the Lord. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together to condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. I want us to pray this morning, and then I'm going to get the brothers to come. Heavenly Father, we just reverently, humbly bow before you. We thank you for the greater deal, the Lord Jesus. Lord, you sent your pieces of flesh to God. You were determined by the foreknowledge of God that you would go. You left the glory and splendor of heaven above. And you took upon you the form of a servant because you loved us so much. Lord, help us to express our love back to you. We're so grateful we've failed you so many times, but you never fail us, and you never forsake us. Father, will you bless this bread to the bodies? For those that are sick, I pray. Lord, I know there's no strength in this bread, but as a remembrance of your body, when you take this bread and this wine and speak your precious blood, may they be healed. May it be a point of contact for the bread that children's healing. And you are the true bread that cometh down from heaven. We bless this bread and this wine. We remember you as we partake. And we bless your people and Israel, your people as well, and in this house. Bless all that's in this house. Have mercy on our families, on our sons, on our daughters, on the husband, on the wife. Have mercy, we pray.
and save them, Lord. And help us to be the Christians.
Yes.
And to live the lives worthy of the gospel. Help us to be tender-hearted, one toward another. Lord, give us slow to speak and quick to hear. Help us, Lord. Give us the heart of David. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the sister if she'll come and just play some of us. The deacons come.